like a bat out of hell. We would do anything for love, but we won't do that, will we? Well, I've never known what that is, so we're going to try to do it anyway on this all-new episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
Hello and welcome. On this podcast, we take a look at everything the 80s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. We'll do this by providing our personal experiences and hopefully stirring some awesome memories, fun, and nostalgia along the way. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by a guy who always loves rapping with Shaquille O'Neal, my good friend Rob.
Oh, the Fooshnickens.
Fooshnickens.
Hey, we want to welcome all of our listeners that identify as losers today. You qualify as a loser if you meet the following specifications. If you were a monkey from the time of chimpanzees, if you have butane in your veins, maybe you're out to cut the junkie with the plastic eyeballs. It's pretty common.
Don't like that guy.
Right. You've spray painted the vegetables. Your baby is in Reno with the vitamin D. Maybe you have a couple of couches, but you sleep on the love seat.
Too small.
Right?
Can't do it.
Someone might have said you're insane to complain about a shotgun wedding and a stain on your shirt. So things to complain about.
I don't like dirty clothes.
No. Maybe you have parking violations and you have maggots on your sleeve.
Again, with the dirty clothes. Right?
Or you're saving all your food stamps and burning down the trailer park.
Nah.
Okay. But if any of these apply to you, we need you to. You're going to want to kill the headlights and put it in neutral, like right now.
Right now.
Right. Don't believe everything that you breathe. Shave your face with some mace in the dark. Ban all the music with the phony gas chamber. Trade the cash for the beef, for the body, for the hate. In that order.
In that order.
Right. And most importantly, realize that your time is a piece of wax falling on a termite that's choking on the splinters. So to all of your losers out there, grab that slab of turkey neck that's hanging from a pigeon wing and relax, because you're in the right place.
Nice. I like that you've started the show by calling a portion of the audience losers. It's great.
I know. I debated. I debated about whether that would be
maybe
push people away, but maybe they own it.
Maybe they own it.
Some of us losers, we own it.
Shaving the mace in the dark, you can, you know, relate to that. You sprayed yourself with mace as a child.
I maced myself.
So you already know what the mace is all about.
Pepper sprayed.
The only mace I have experience with is, you know, the rapper mace. Right?
What about the medieval? So good. What about the medieval?
We have a fly in our studio, by the way.
There is a fly in here.
Yeah, so.
The medieval weapon, the mace. Is that the ball with the chain on it?
I don't know. Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
I'm not up on my medieval studies. Okay. Yeah. I'll have to go back to the drawing board on that one. So I feel like this fly is stalking me at this point. Well, Rob and I love putting out this show every week. And great intro, Rob. Thanks a lot. Even if you called everyone losers. But we couldn't do this without all of you subscribers and listeners. So please continue to help us grow the show so we can share our fun and memories with as many people as possible. If you haven't done so, hit that subscribe button, share this episode with a friend. Then after you're done listening, give us a quick 5 stars and a review. Tell us what you think. We're always interested in getting some feedback. Finally, get in touch with us on any of the social media sites, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, which is now X, I think so, and YouTube, which you can find us on video, or you can listen to us on any regular audio platform, and email us at 80s90srecall@gmail.com with show ideas, questions. Or you can just heap praise and tell Rob and I how great we are. We love hearing that all times of the day. So.
We do.
And our wives don't always tell us that. So if we can get it from somewhere else, that would be great.
We'll take it wherever
we can get it. Any compliment we can have.
That's right. Hey, what are we talking about today?
What are we talking about today? Why don't you tell us what we're talking about today?
Oh, we are covering Billboard Hot 100 for the August 15th, 1993.
Well, so we're a week off August 8th.
August 8th.
Because this comes out on the 8th. That'll be today.
Sorry. So, yep.
Yes.
Yep. August 8th. My bad.
That's okay.
My notes are wrong.
You were a little in the future.
I'm a little in the future.
It's not a big deal.
No.
So, well, 1993, Hot 100. We're going to find out what the best 100 songs in America were, and we're going to pick the ones that we like the best, right? Or we remember liking the best. Finishing up my junior year that year, start my senior year. So big year, right? Getting older, getting ready to finish my last year of high school. Some sad news to report in 1993. The cast of Saved by the Bell and Beverly Hills 90210 graduated high school. So sadly, they weren't on TV anymore. Even Donna Martin, despite her careless and reckless attitude towards underage drinking, they still let her graduate. So happy news, however, Beavis and Butthead debuted on MTV, changing how kids watch cartoons forever. And the Colorado Rockies and Miami Marlins officially became Major League Baseball teams. Exciting for you, Rob, as I know you're a big collector. Beanie Babies launched.
Lots of Beanie Babies.
Big movies that year, Jurassic Park, Schindler's List, a little depressing, but good movie. The Fugitive, Groundhog Day, which we've covered on one of our previous episodes. Rudy, one of the best football movies of all time. And I know a movie you waited in line to see because I remember you telling me how great it was. Cool Runnings, best bobsled movie you'd ever seen. So, and
the only bobsled movie I've ever seen.
And of course, who couldn't forget, down in Waco, Texas, there was a small house fire at the Koresh residence. So,
oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Big deal. That was a... How did you refer to it? A small house fire.
So,
wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I caught some of it on the news. It looked like part of the house was on fire. So.
Wow. That's crazy.
At the Koresh residence. I believe they called it a compound or something.
Yay. The fly has moved to my side.
Yes.
Just letting everybody know.
Likes us both. Yeah. They don't want to hear about our fly for this whole episode.
That's all right.
Right, so.
He might. Make an appearance or two.
Fly right into a camera.
Yeah.
What do you got about 93?
Gosh, did I miss 93. Let's see. What's that? That's my sophomore year. Not a whole lot going in. You know, coming into my own junior year was the year I kind of hit my stride. So sophomore year was still.
Hitting my stride.
Yeah.
I imagine you walking down the halls like Tobey Maguire in Superman 3, where you're finger gunning people as you go by the lockers. Is that right?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I was far from that. Not even close. No. Acne ridden.
Oh, jeez. That took a left.
It was awful.
I gave you a chance to pump yourself up and you went the other way. So, all right. Well, 93 sound like a great time. So, well, the Bad Boys Got Nothing on Rob and Me as we're about to walk 500 miles and quite possibly 500 more as we're revisiting the Billboard Top 100 for this week in 1993. Hey, it's David. Do you find yourself watching and loving movies that everyone else wants you to believe are terrible? I know I do. And if you're in the same boat, then there's a podcast out there just for you. It is the Bad Movies Rule podcast, where every week the gang takes a look at movies and tells you once and for all if they rule or they do in fact suck. But hey, the guys at Bad Movies Rule can explain it much better than I can. So listen to this trailer and afterwards, look for them on all your podcast streaming platforms.
You're listening to the trailer for Bad Movies Rule, and lucky you, you are about to start a journey of epic proportions.
Epic proportions.
That's right. This is a podcast. I mean, the name is on the can. You know what's in the box, right? We're talking about bad movies.
Bad movies, the rule.
Well, sometimes, right? So these aren't films, and sometimes people will see the movies on our list and they'll go, how dare you talk about that movie?
That's not a bad movie.
Yeah, right. Well, we just talk about bad in the sense that maybe the critics ignored it, right? Or it didn't get any awards.
Sure.
Like the movies of the common people. This is a blue-collar podcast. I mean, we've got plumbers, shoe salesmen, mechanics. We've got, what does Joe do? No one even knows what he does. We've got a furniture mover.
He moves furniture.
That's right. We have also been filmmakers ourselves. We've made many independent films, and this gives us a soft spot for some of these movies out there. And I think you're going to have fun listening to us talk about it. And by the end,
you're going to know if it's bad.
Is it a bad movie, full stop? Is it a bad movie that rules? Or is it actually straight up a good movie?
There are some good movies out there.
And so we'll see. And you guys are invited to come along with us, pick apart each one of these things, and some we'll put back together, and some we're just going to leave in a pile behind us.
I
can't wait.
Awesome. Well, we hope you guys are going to join us, and we appreciate every single one of you. Thanks for coming along.
All right, Rob, 93 was a big year for Knockin' Boots. So, Rob, show us how to tap that number 10 song of yours.
Well, I'm going to come right out and be honest. I'm a little worried.
Uh-oh.
I'm a little worried that my notes are wrong. But we're going to see how it goes, because my notes say August 15th. I don't know why.
Maybe you're a week off?
I don't know why. So I'm hoping, I'm checking my first one to see if I'm accurate.
Ah, like if they were, I mean, that's only a week apart, so most of the songs should be around.
And I'm not seeing my first song, so I'm worried that this could go wildly different. Oh no.
Well, I see it. How about this?
Okay, here we go. Well, I'm just going to say it because I'm pretty sure I'm going to try and correct it as I go. Well, but here we go.
Well, let's go with this. Yeah. This is the Billboard for the 8th and 15th of August. Okay. Since for some reason there's a little mix up, we'll cover the 2 week window, and most of the songs should be pretty similar.
Yeah,
or
I think we're okay. So, okay. I think we're okay. So my first song, now that I've got that out of my system, I was a little worried. Is you're gonna be shocked at this, I think.
Doubtful.
Well.
All right.
Here we go.
Let's see if my shocked face comes in.
Are you shocked?
Yeah, you went with country.
I did.
Chattahoochee.
A little Chattahoochee.
Interesting. I was not ready for that.
See?
Well, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee.
I didn't know you were a big Alan Jackson guy in 93.
Yeah. When we talk about 90s country, he's probably up there.
I got that. Not on my list at all.
All right.
So great.
Okay.
Great start for you. Very shocking. Wasn't expecting that.
For the week of the 8th.
Yes.
It was number 89 this week.
Nice.
Yeah. Co-written and recorded by Alan Jackson. It was released in 93, obviously. Got a single of the year, a song of the year. Is quoted as saying that we never thought it would be as big as it became. They just thought it was going to. Peaked at number 46, and it was his first Hot 100 entry. It was certified 3 times platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America.
Nice.
So the lyrics go, the lyric of the song say, well, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, it gets hotter than a hoochie-coochie. We laid rubber on the Georgia asphalt. We got a little crazy, but we never got caught. What is, some trivia for you.
Oh, okay.
What is a hoochie-coochie?
Hoochie-coochie.
And at what temperature is it officially hotter than a hoochie-coochie?
When I hear that word, my 12-year-old brain kicks in and nothing good pops in. So I don't actually know the definition of hoochie-coochie, and I would assume at about 102, it's no longer viable. So,
So apparently the hoochie-coochie is a catch-all term to describe any of the number of sexually provocative belly dance-like dances.
So see, my brain didn't go too far into the gutter. Right.
Such dances or something similar were performed at the Crystal Palace Exhibition in London in 1851, the Centennial Exhibition in Philadelphia in 1876, and the World's Fair in 1889. So the hoochie-coochie is a dance, apparently.
Ah, it's a dance.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wish we could hoochie-coochie this fly right out of this place. It keeps flying in my nose. So not the fans at home care, but it's distracting. I'm afraid it's going to fly in my mouth. That's what's going to happen. So, shockingly and surprising first choice, but solid. I listened to that. Pyramid of Cans, Pale Moonlight, right? So anyway, but I don't have any country. So we pivot off of that, and I'll say, just so you know, my list is pretty rap and R&B heavy this week when I looked at this list, at least from the top 40 standpoint. I was more into those styles of songs on this particular Hot 100. And with that being said, my number 10 is neither rap or R&B, now that I made that big presentation. It is Come Undone by the 80s band Duran Duran.
Really good.
It is good.
Really good.
It was their early 90s resurgence.
Yep.
After their popularity in the 80s. A little slower, a little more balladeer type, but still a good song. Not as poppy as some of their 80s new wave pop type stuff. But number 34 on the Billboard this week would get as high as number 7 on the US Hot 100. It went number 2 in Canada and was top 10 in Ireland and Italy. Good job for the Italians. I saw an invalid chart. It said from Israel. Not sure why it's invalid, but it was number one. I don't know what invalid means, but that's what it said. This was Duran Duran's last top 40 single, but in 2021, it was the eighth most streamed Duran Duran song in the UK. So top 10 in 2021. I don't know what's going on there. Apparently during the pandemic, everybody was like, let's just go back in on Duran Duran. I have always liked Duran Duran. So a little comeback, as I said, in the early 90s. Good for me. Good song. I can still listen to it now. Sounds good. And easy pick from a number 10.
I like that pick a lot.
A lot.
May or may not be in my list here.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah.
So we didn't talk about that. I think 93 has a lot of crossovers. So I'm going to go high on this one and say four.
Four?
Yeah. I see many songs that I'm like, although you shocked me with the Alan Jackson thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know what else might happen. Yeah. But going off of what I typically see from the countdown and knowing what you like to pick, I'm going to guess we're going to be in the ballpark of four.
Okay, so. And my little snafu with the weeks might throw a wrench in there because I think my next one, I could not find it on the week of the 8th.
But so it's on the week of the 15th.
The week of the 15th.
All right, we can be happy with that.
So my next song is, mine is also heavy kind of R&B-ish.
I think the whole countdown this week was, if I want to be honest.
Yeah, so here we go. It is...
Wow, you went with SWV.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, the week of the 15th, it was number 6.
Yes.
And I just did a cursory look through this week, and I didn't see it.
Oh, okay.
It could be.
Could be. You just didn't look, maybe you didn't look hard enough.
I don't know. I'm under pressure here. I've got too many windows, too many switches. I'm hitting switches over here. So this week, the week of the 15th, that was number 6, performed by the American R&B vocal trio SWV.
Yes.
Debut album, topped the U.S. Billboard for 2 weeks, ending the two-month-long reign of Janet Jackson's That's the Way Love Goes, which was featured on a previous episode.
Yeah.
Sold over 1 million copies domestically. Platinum certification, and Billboard named the song number 72 on their list of 100 greatest girl group songs of all time.
All time.
Little trivia for you. What does SWV stand for?
Come on. That's easy. Just hit the little dinger. Sisters with Voices.
Nice job. Yeah, Sisters with Voices stands for... Sisters with Voices stands for... whatever. The group was created in the early 1990s in New York City.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well... we'll stay in the R&B category.
Okay.
And going to a song that you just mentioned that you said was on a previous episode, and that's Janet Jackson's That's the Way Love Goes. I remember listening to this a lot in 1993. I saw it here in the top 100. I couldn't leave it off.
It's too low in my opinion.
All right.
I say that didn't even make my list.
There you go. But number 9 is too low for you. Yeah. So now you're telling me where things go.
I know.
Well, number 15 this week in Falling, but was a huge hit, going number 1 on the US Hot 100. Also went number 1 in Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the UK. And a top 10 hit in 7 other countries. This was number 1 in the US for 8 weeks. So 2 months, this ruled the radio. It received a Grammy, a Billboard Award, and an American Music Award. I remember it most for the video. Seemed pretty sexy and sultry with a lot of good-looking people laying on top of each other. And in fact,
This is her heyday.
Yeah.
Like, she looked
good. It was said that it was very popular and iconic, as it's the first time you get to see her seductive and adult side. Previous to that, a lot of her songs, she wore a lot of, like, the Rhythm Nation outfits, and she's a little buttoned up. And then later in the 2000s, she got a little too free when she let Justin Timberlake fling her shirt open on the Super Bowl halftime show.
Showing her boobies.
All that stuff. But
or was it just one boobie?
It was just, the one.
Just the one.
And it was a wardrobe malfunction, Rob. So.
Okay. We're still holding to that.
Still holding to that. Okay. Justin tells me that's true. I believe JT. So.
He tells you this?
Yeah, sometimes.
I mean, you guys.
We're in a group text.
I'm not on that one.
It's me, JT, and Peebo Bryson.
Peebo.
Yeah, that's the.
That's right, because you're on first name.
That's a group text. So there can be some interesting conversations in that.
I would like to hear. I'd like to read some.
No, I signed an NDA. I can't talk about the group text other than to acknowledge its existence. So
okay.
That's good. seconds.
All right. Okay.
Takes you to number 8.
Oh, man. My number 8. We talked about them in a previous episode.
Oh. Error.
Yeah.
Then it's going to be good.
Well,
can you find it?
I can't find it.
Can't find it. It's okay. Well, we can listen to it and make our own judgments.
There we go. I found it.
That away.
Oh, you want to take.
Do you know it?
Is it Jodeci?
It is Jodeci.
It is. This is not as typical Jodeci as you'd be used to.
No.
This they're is usually a little
really
more
subdued.
Yeah, they're usually got a little more like oomph to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little more, they usually have a little more racy lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like a love song.
Yeah. Really good.
I didn't listen to this one too much.
No.
That's good.
Yeah. So this is a song called Lately.
Oh.
And it came out, I'd say it was this week in the week of the 8th. It was number 33.
Nice.
Week of the, it would the following week, it'd make it up to number 5. So there you go.
Is that the high as it went?
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't do that. I didn't go that deep.
Perfect.
It was actually written by Stevie Wonder in 1980, released as a promotional single.
That sounds like a 1980
song.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Released as a promotional single for the live album Uptown MTV Unplugged in June of 93. And you could not find this album. I looked for it. I owned it. I ended up going to some obscure record store in downtown Portland, and I found it.
There's no better place to go in Portland than obscure record stores.
Yeah, that's fine.
They're always in the best neighborhoods.
It reached number 1 on the R&B charts.
Yeah,
sounds right. Yeah, reached number 5 on the Billboard Hot 100. Executive producer Andre Harrell referred to it as their end of the road. They're kind of that, you know, their version of, right? So they are kind of like the anti-Boyz II Men, right?
Good try by that guy.
It's their highest peaking pop hit. They performed it on the Arsenio Hall show. So there you go.
With like
Stevie
Arsenio.
Wonder.
I did like Arsenio.
Yeah. A little trivia for you. Devontae Swing, one of the members, and Casey of Jodeci were accused of what in 1992? A, selling drugs. B, murder. C, sexual assault. Or D, hit and run.
Well, what I know of Jodeci, I think C sounds right. There you go.
Answer: Casey and Devontae Swing were charged with sexually assaulting a woman they met in a New Jersey nightclub.
All right.
Yeah.
That felt like the right answer.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that was a very slow cut right there.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick up the pace here a little bit with my number 8 from an all-girl group, Four Non-Blondes. It is called What's Up? Seemed like a song on the radio a lot. Bit of a one-hit wonder for the Four Non-Blondes. A lot of questions in this song.
There are a lot of questions.
Yeah. She's got a lot of things to ask people.
Yeah.
So this is Four Non-Blondes, as I said. What's up? This song, always on the radio in 93. It's been said here before, but quick shout out to Z100 Portland, Oregon, my top 40 go-to station when I was a youngster. Hit number 14 this week on the Hot 100, would top that spot in the top out at that spot in the U.S. However, overseas, this song was way more popular. It went number 1 in Austria, Belgium, Denmark, Germany, Iceland, Ireland, Lithuania, the Netherlands, Norway, Sweden, and Switzerland. Also number 2 in Australia, Italy, New Zealand, and the UK, so just popular everywhere except the US as much. This is a great sing-along song, which I like, and just kind of reminds me of high school, all that good stuff. Go Mustangs. Fun fact, Linda Perry, lead singer, and Stephen Jenkins, lead singer of Third Eye Blind, they wrote this song and Semi-Charmed Kind of Life when they were living together in San Francisco, and basically worked on them together, finalized them, and then took them to their bands later to sing them. So,
wow.
Look
at that.
That's
where it all started.
It all started in San Francisco. They left their hearts
in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
What is that? Is that like an old saying or something? Maybe. Is that a song? I don't know. I think we're saying things we don't really.
I think it's an old saying.
I don't think we really know what it means.
No, it's an old saying.
All right. Where are we at? My number 7. My number 7?
Yeah. Yes.
So what's going on? Nice job. My number 7 is.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I like Toni Braxton. I like it a lot.
Flowers.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Can't stop him. He's the star of the show.
So this week, the week of the 8th.
Week of the 8th.
It was number 14.
Number 14.
Yeah. And then, sadly, the following week, it would drop to number 32.
So it lost, like a rock.
Man, it lost a lot of spots. Anyway, so this is Tony Braxton, written and produced by Daryl Simmons and Babyface. We've had quite a few Babyface songs in here.
He was good.
With additional production from L.A. Reid. That was another big name back in the day.
He was good.
It's her lead single from the opening track of her self-titled debut album. Lyrically, it talks about Braxton complaining that every song played on the radio is a reminder of her ex-boyfriend. It gave her her first ever Grammy Award for Best Female R&B Vocal Performance and her first top 10 hit on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. Little trivia for you. It has been reported that Tony eats what food when she gets upset? A, chocolate, B, bonbon, C, pancakes, or D, ice cream?
I'm going to go E, a Big Mac.
Wow.
I read somewhere that she was a fan of Big Macs.
Answer, IMDb reports that Tony eats pancakes when she gets upset.
So pancakes are good. I like dinner for breakfast or breakfast for dinner. And yeah. I can eat pancakes anytime.
Sure.
So I can't fault Tony for that.
No,
right?
I have no. I don't falter. No, I just thought it was an interesting.
Really pancakes. Every song reminds her of her ex-boyfriend.
That's what it says. Yeah. Every song played on the radio is a reminder of her ex-boyfriend.
I mean, there's songs on the radio like, Smells Like Nirvana from Weird Al Yankovic.
Or Scatman.
Scatman. That's not on the radio yet in 1993. But yes, great example, Rob. You're just out in left field today, apparently. Yeah, so, All right. Well, we go from Tony Braxton, good R&B, to a little hip-hop / rap with Insane in the Brain from Cypress Hill.
Let's see if you got the part.
Hey, eh?
Got no brain.
That's it? Yeah. That's the part everybody knows right there.
That's funny. So, is it talk Insane about, in the Brain? Is that what
yes,
it is?
Okay, that's what it is. Talk about a band with a unique sound, huh? You knew Cypress Hill when you heard Cypress Hill immediately. Yeah. So there was no mistaking them with anybody else. Number 30 this week on the countdown, but would get to number 19 on the Hot 100. Number 1 on the U.S. Hot Rap Songs chart. That's not surprising. It also hit number 9 in the Netherlands and number 3 on the U.K. dance charts. Doesn't sound like a dance song, but apparently they figured out how to do it. So the song was ranked number 34 on VH1's 100 Greatest Songs of Hip Hop. Do we think that's a little high? That sounds high.
What? Yeah.
34 of the top 100 greatest songs of hip hop all time.
Yeah, no. That seems like
maybe because of their unique sound. So, all I think about when I hear Cypress Hill is people smoking weed. I mean, they had a song called Hits from the Bong, Rob. So they knew their audience. They weren't trying to hide it.
Yeah.
They knew exactly what they were doing. So
I imagine that's what the song's about.
Yes.
You're
it's all their songs are about.
Getting insane in the brain.
Yeah. Everybody loved it.
All right. Good pick.
Good pick.
Good pick. Not on my list.
What? So,
nope.
That's too bad.
Nope. Which causes me to do a little search here.
You don't have to search. Stay true to what you have.
Well, no, I'm good. Okay.
Okay.
My number, what are we at? Number
six.
Six.
Yep.
Oh.
Ah. So this
was number 23 this week, the week of the 8th.
Is that right? Okay.
Do you think so?
I think so. Sounds right. Is just both empty
for two. It's make my point. You think it's
not safe. I don't think it's anything.
You have it though.
I thought it debuted the following week, but that's fine. My research could be different than yours. But
we're
encompassing the 8th and the 15th, so it's all good.
Okay. So all right. Well, depending on where it lands, yeah.
Yeah, it's all good.
Either 23rd or...
Great song regardless, so.
Yeah, my notes might be way off.
No, they're all good.
That's okay.
It's still Blind Melon, so you're good.
It was by American rock band Blind Melon. The music received heavy airplay on MTV all the time on the MTV.
All on the MTV.
Featured the B-girl.
The bee costume.
We remember the B-girl.
Gotta love it.
And see, the song is the band's highest charting song. It's the only song that I know. So
Yeah, I didn't know any other ones.
Reaching number 20 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. Pitchfork described the song as a playfully jingle-jangle riff.
What is Pitchfork?
It's some sort of...
musical magazine?
Yes.
Okay. Like, I haven't heard of Pitchfork.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I believe it's an online deal.
Sounds good.
That feels strummed from a hammock.
Was there a lot of Pitchfork?
I like this description.
A lot of Pitchfork online in 1993? Is that where we're going?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. It's probably on the same whatever stupid list.
I mean, I didn't do a lot of online in 1993, but it doesn't mean true. It wasn't there. So.
That's true. They described it as a playful jingle-jangle riff that feels strung from a hammock, a beguiling falsetto vocal from a wildly charismatic frontman, a sweet and mournful lyric about watching the world go by that doesn't sound depressed, even though it's literally describing depression.
Nice. So,
there you go.
I think he was depressed considering he died shortly after this from, like, what, a heroin overdose or something?
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah.
You know, he also was in the, he was a backup singer on the Guns N' Roses song and video Don't Cry.
Oh, I didn't
Shannon,
know
Shannon, whatever his name.
Yeah, it's Shannon Hoon.
Hoon.
Hoon. Yeah.
Shannon Hoon.
A little trivia for Heather DeLatch, a.k.a. the B-Girl, later played the B-Girl character in Who's 1993 video for the single Bedrock Anthem.
I already know what garbage that is, so we'll go with Weird Al Yankovic because no one else would name a song Bedrock Anthem. Yep. Is that the Yabba Dabba Doo now? Is that song?
It is.
Yeah, I knew you'd know it. So, not shocking at all. Well, keeping with my rap theme, my number six comes from a new solo rapper, broke away from his original group, N.W.A., it is Ice Cube featuring Das FX with Check Yourself. It's good advice. You would hate to wreck yourself prior to checking yourself. It's got a good remix on this, sampling from probably several things, but great song. Can't get any more early 90s than this. I think it sounds just like the early 90s. Number 25 on the Hot 100 this week. Would get to number 20 on that chart. It did hit number one on the Billboard R&B and rap charts. Only number 80 in Australia. So they may need to chickity check themselves on this one. Although I still love the Aussies. Big friends of the show. I don't know if you're hitting the right notes on that one. If you haven't heard this song in a while, I highly recommend it as it has some interesting lyrics. A few of which I actually forgot were so graphic. I didn't play them here, obviously, but there's a couple of wowzers in there I hadn't heard in a long time, and I was like, oh, that's right. He says that. So, good. Good song. But, yeah, classic. It's been used in movies. People have cited this over the chickity check yourself has become a thing, you know, stuff like that. So, very relevant in pop culture.
Yep, not on my list.
No.
That was a good one.
You're just missing all of them.
Well, it's possible I'm on the wrong week. For all we know, I'm in the wrong month. Who knows? All right. My number, number four?
Number four.
Oh, man, we're blasting.
Is it four?
No. Number five.
Number five. There number you go. Five. Don't get too far ahead of yourself.
Is?
Living on the Edge with the Aerosmith.
Yep. And that was number 83 this week.
You went deep into the list for this one.
And I rewatched the video.
How'd you like it?
I had Edward, what's from Terminator
Furlong?
2. Furlong.
Yes.
Furlong. Yeah.
In the early 90s, they like getting lots of people in their videos.
Yeah. So it had kind of a dark, I don't know, just lots of different things going on and the world's falling apart. And nice. Anyway. But this week in 1993, it was at number 83, Aerosmith. You know, the band, Steve Perry, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry.
Steve Perry?
I know, wrong band. Released in February of 1993 as the first single from the band's commercially successful album, Get a Grip. It reached number 18. It's inspired by the 1992 Los Angeles riots.
Ooh.
Yeah. A little trivia for you. In the video, Joe Perry plays a guitar solo on the train tracks while a train closes in on him from behind. The train scene was filmed on Lake Britton Bridge in Shasta County, California. The same bridge where what famous 1986 movie scene was filmed?
Let's go with a movie that I have actually not watched before. Stand By Me. There you go.
Nice job.
Stand By Me. Missed that movie the first time around, and I've never...
I know, we talked about it on our 86 episode, and you were like,
excited to go back to it.
Didn't see it.
Yeah.
It's kind of controversial comment.
If I look at the movie, it just never interested me. But everybody says it's iconic. Maybe I should go check it out. As an 80s person, maybe it's my duty to look at that, right? So,
it's your duty.
All right. Well, my number five is a song that you have already mentioned, but you had much lower on your list. And that is by those Sisters with Voices, It Is Again Week.
Oh. Is that our first one?
First one.
All right. What did you have it at this week?
So I'll tell you that in a second.
Because I'd be curious to know.
After we enjoy some of the music.
I want to make sure that.
So, well,
great.
It is number three this week on the Billboard Hot 100. I remember this song, another that had constant radio airplay, obviously. It did hit number one on the US Hot 100, number six in New Zealand, number eight on the UK dance charts. Always liked SWV, good R&B girls group with great songs to sing along to. I like R&B girls groups and can't go wrong with that. Billboard ranked this number 72 on their list of the 100 greatest girls group songs of all time.
Of all time.
When this song hit number one, it dethroned Janet Jackson's, as you said, That's the Way Love Goes, which had been number one for 2 months. And when I hear this song, I was thinking about it when you were playing it. When I hear this song, it makes me... It sounds like melancholy sounds and secret societies.
What does that even mean?
I'm going to let you ponder what that means.
Melancholy sounds.
And secret societies. And
is that a lyric from the song?
No.
That's really dumb.
That's just something I'm thinking about right now. Yeah, I'm thinking of it right in my head now. I have some deep thoughts once in a while. I'm like Jack Handy over here. Sometimes I get these deep thoughts. Things come out of my mouth. This is what happens. So,
I want you
to write that down.
Handyman.
Melancholy sounds and secret societies.
I'm not writing that down.
Write it down.
That's dumb. I almost wrote it down. I was like, wait, what am I doing?
Write it down. You might need that later somewhere in life.
No.
Yeah?
That's dumb.
So, all right. Now, Rob, take you out of your secret societies and give us your number four. Now you can give your number four.
Jeez. What? All right. My number four is... We're bringing it down.
Oh. Is that Brian?
Yeah.
You like Brian?
I did. This is a great album.
I like some Brian. I can take him in doses.
Yeah.
I can just listen to him.
I was upset to see he was doing like Chili's commercial. No,
I know.
It was,
you said this before. Yeah. And I already talked about that he's got to pay the bills too.
Well, that's dumb. He's a respected R&B singer.
Sorry he didn't check with you before working on his endorsements. The whole point of getting famous is then you can, you know, champion that into endorsements and more money and things. No? All right. Sorry.
Have some dignity.
Brian, we know you're listening. Rob is upset and disappointed. So
I don't know.
Go ahead and call the show and you guys can hash that out. Right? So, there you go.
Well, this week he was number 21.
21.
Yeah. This week, correct. Yeah. Brian McKnight from his self-titled debut album. It was McKnight's first solo hit on the Hot 100. It peaked at number 13. Since its release, One Last Cry has been covered by several artists, including the Backstreet Boys and Justin Timberlake.
JT.
You can talk about that on
I already knew about it. It was in the group text. Peebo was very impressed.
A little trivia
that doesn't
for
violate my NDA either, by the way.
Whatever.
So.
Brian McKnight's older brother is a member of what musical group?
New Kids on the Block.
A.
Jordan McKnight.
Mint Condition.
Oh, dang it.
B. The Winans. C. Take Six. Or D. Boys to Men.
Take Six.
Ooh. Nice job.
I still think it was New Kids on the Block. There's a McKnight in that group, I think.
So. No.
Joe?
No. No.
Donnie's a Wahlberg.
There was a Wahlberg. There was Jordan.
Jordan.
Donnie. No.
Yeah. Jordan. Joe. Donnie. Danny.
There was Joe.
Joe.
Yeah. Oh, Danny. Yeah.
Danny. Yeah. He was the old one.
Yeah. He's the one everybody, like, nobody liked. Yeah.
Nobody liked him.
He looked old then. Yeah.
There's always an old one. So, well, my number four comes from a band that you already covered, but you picked the wrong song.
Oh.
So I went with Aerosmith's Crying.
Oh.
For this week. Really good song.
Good pick.
Yeah. For me, better than Living on the Edge. But I understand why you took it.
Was that, who was it? Alicia Silverstone? No.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say,
sorry.
All I can say about this is the video. Alicia Silverstone. First time I saw her, and then she did like three of these videos. But I remember when she starred in all those videos, and this was pretty Clueless. And I'm just going to say it. She was hot.
Yeah. The little schoolgirl outfit.
I would just want to watch that because I wanted to see her. Song is great too, but every time I hear it, I think of Alicia. It was number 51 this week in 93 and would eventually hit number 12 on the US Hot 100. Why are you laughing?
I don't know, just the phrase. Alicia. Every time I hear that song
I think of Alicia. Yes, write that down. However, it was number one in Norway, a top 10 hit in 11 other countries. I'll bet Alicia didn't hurt that at all. So
no.
She probably helped that quite a bit. Alicia, in this fun fact, Alicia got her belly button pierced in this video. And that is credited with introducing navel piercings to mainstream culture.
Really?
So I want to thank, on behalf of all people, I want to thank Alicia for that, as I was a big fan of navel piercings in the 90s, early 2000s, and still now. And I appreciate that she inspired women and others to get them from around the world.
Oh, I lost my, I can't find my
navel piercing anymore. Didn't you took it out? It closed.
It just kind of closed up.
Yeah. Like, seeing you with a navel piercing would have been something.
Folds.
That would have been great.
Got lost in the folds.
You'd have had a little chain. It would have been like Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover. He had his little little chain piercing or whatnot.
Right up there with my tribal back tattoo.
Yes.
My lower back
tattoo. That's it. I did it all for the nookie.
I did it all for the nookie. That's right. You don't know. People don't know a lot about me.
They don't. There's a lot of things in here where people aren't aware of. They didn't know about the Boys to Men.
No.
Posters. They didn't know about the shadow boxing, watching LL Cool J. There's lots of things we keep finding out as we move down the list.
Right. Using my AK.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway. All right. Enough about me. My number three.
Three.
My number three has already been set.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. You had it way up there.
I did. I like this song.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good song.
You had it up. What number was it this week?
Eight or nine. Oh, you mean on the chart? So that tells me you listen to a lot of what I say. I'm going to go with it was number 14 this week.
Oh, shit, yeah. Next week it'll be 19. No. Drop. Let's see. What else can I say about the song that you haven't already said? Was nominated in the category of Best Alternative Rock Video at the MTV Music Awards.
For her big hat?
Yeah. In 2019, About.com featured it in their ranking of the best 100 songs from the 1990s. Bill Lamb remarked that the song seemingly appeared out of nowhere, becoming a neo-folky hit, first on modern rock radio stations and then on pop charts. Although it only reached number 11, it's been a radio fixture ever since.
Ever since.
Which of these artists, trivia for you, which of these artists has Linda Perry, lead singer of Four Non Blondes, not written a hit single for?
Ooh.
A, Pink. B, Gwen Stefani. C, Christina Aguilera. Or D, Lady Gaga.
That's good. I'll go with Pink.
The answer is D.
Oh, no,
Linda
Perry
has founded two record labels and composed and produced hit songs for several other artists, including Beautiful by Christina Aguilera.
Yes.
What Are You Waiting For by Gwen Stefani. And Get the Party Started by Pink.
All right.
Perry has also contributed to albums by Adele, Alicia Keys, Courtney Love,
she's everywhere.
James Blunt. Yeah, so she's still out there. She's just
James Blunt flew in there for no reason.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
She was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2015.
So maybe the song's not her most famous thing.
No.
Maybe inspiring all these other artists.
That was just the vehicle to get her where she wanted to be.
Still a good song.
Yeah.
So that's two crossovers we had. I said four at the beginning. And here comes number three, because my number three has already been said, and I'll just play it because we already know what it is. I love Toni Braxton. I was underselling it when you played because I didn't want to give it away. And this song definitely reminds me of like 93. I remember listening to it all the time. So, great love song, which I'm a sucker for. We already know. Anyone who's fans of the show know I like a good love song. Mm-hmm. Number 40 this week.
And a good solo.
Do like solos.
Sax solo. Especially.
Solos. Yeah. I like them all. Number 40 this week. Eventually hit number 7 on the Hot 100 in the U.S. It performed mostly okay overseas. Did hit number 2 in Zimbabwe. That's pretty good. Another shout out for them on this countdown. They've been on here a few times. They like some 80s and early 90s. Toni Braxton won Grammys for Best R&B Vocal Performance and Best New Artist. Classic song, takes me right back to 93, as I said. Every time I hear it, it feels like being back in that time.
Yep.
So
yeah, this album
has a very nostalgic sound.
I remember getting this at what was a record store at the Clackamas Town Center.
Which one do you want, Sam Goody?
It wasn't Sam Goody.
Do you want Tower? Do you want
might have been Sam Goody.
Suncoast?
No, it was Sun. Okay. It was Sam Goody. Sam Goody.
All right, yeah. We'll go with that.
I remember purchasing this at Sam Goody.
Nice. Yeah.
Yep. Had to have it. Good stuff.
Had to have it.
I also had she was on a cover of a magazine. I think I've mentioned that before. She was on the cover of a magazine at some point in her heyday.
And you had the magazine?
I got the magazine. It was a magazine that I don't normally get.
Oh.
I don't know. And she was on the cover. And
you were happy.
That was weird.
Kept it under your mattress?
I don't know what I did. Why did I get that?
Why are you hiding that one?
I wasn't even reading the article. It was like, oh, she's on the cover. I'm going to buy it. Why did I buy it?
Yeah, why'd you buy it?
Who knows?
No one knows.
All right. My number two.
I bought it for the articles.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go with that.
Speaking of magazines, remember you had that segue, folks. Don't mean to get into personal stories, but you had that guy live across the street from me who was a former Major League Baseball player.
Just passed away.
Yeah. And you were, I'm sorry to hear that.
Sorry.
You were taking care of his house when he was gone one time.
Oh, no.
And we went in, we were in there. I don't know if we should have been wandering around, but
I don't know.
He had the best collection of Playboys I don't ever know if saw it was in my life.
But it was the biggest.
He had a lot.
It was a lot.
Any from the 50s forward or 60s, whatever it was.
Yeah, and there's probably some collector value in there because he had them back through the generation. Yeah, and they were, anyway, so, I don't know.
So not quite the same as your Toni Braxton, but I guess relatively close.
Yeah,
the same thinking pattern.
We're supposed to be feeding his cats.
Maybe they ran into the room and we just stumbled upon the collection.
Oh, I don't know.
Good for him.
We're admitting things. That
feels
good. That feels good. Feels good to get that out. The
statute of limitations gone.
That's right.
On that
And he's not here anymore.
He can't complain. So what's your number two?
All right. My number two has also already been said.
Oh, man.
Are we up to four?
That's our four.
All right.
It's going to probably be more than that at this point. Oh, wow. Number two.
I like this song.
I love this song. I didn't have it at two, but great.
When I was sorting them out, this song just kept
sticking out.
I like it.
It's really good. Duran Duran. Take a wrong.
And I like that it's got kind of an 80s vibe to it, but it was, I don't know.
Getting a little nostalgia out of it. Look at you.
Yeah, I love it. Let's see. What else can I say that it was released in 93, obviously. It is their 24th single overall, peaking at number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100. It became their last top 40 hit on the chart.
Gotcha.
As of October 2021, Come Undone is the 8th most streamed Duran Duran song in the UK. Yeah. Trivia. As you may know, Duran Duran recorded the theme song for 1985's A View to Kill, also called A View to Kill. True or false, A View to Kill, the only James Bond 007 theme song to ever go true or false, is A View to a Kill, the only James Bond 007 theme song to ever go number one on the U.S. charts.
False.
It's true.
Really?
True. It's the only Bond. I know. It's the only Bond theme song to ever reach number one on the charts in the U.S. It also remains the highest placed Bond theme on the U.K. chart, reaching number two, released in 1985. It was the last record the original lineup recorded until 2004 when they released the album Astronaut.
Okay. I don't know if I'm right or wrong. I think you just want to hit the and button. But I thought Adele got to number one. But maybe not. Maybe she got to number two.
No.
So
the guys up in the booth.
Guys up in the booth.
Might have messed up.
Nope. They're telling me in my ear, you're good.
Okay. We're good? So, okay.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, my number two is not one we've mentioned already. And actually, in any normal time, this would have been my favorite and number one song on this. Only one song displaced it. But it is just a great pop rock song.
Mm-hmm.
By the Gin Blossoms. Ooh. Hey, Jealousy.
Good song.
Yeah, I love this song. So, very recognizable song.
Yep.
I say this is one of the most sing-alongable songs of the 90s.
Sing-alongable.
It's not a word, but I'm going to make it a word today. So for our podcast, sing-alongable is a thing. And this is one of the most sing-alongable songs for me of the 1990s. It's peppy, makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. It's great to belt out in your car because I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. It was number 67 this week on the Hot 100, would top out at number 25 in the U.S., reach number 20 in Iceland, but mostly modest efforts everywhere else. This is clearly the Jim Blossom's most recognizable song. In fact, they've been quoted as saying people come to their concerts, and as they're playing other songs, people are just like, play Hey Jealousy. So that's what they go there for. yeah. So
that and I know the Allison song. Wrote.
Yeah. Was t- yeah. And this is still better than Allison wrote. No. So I know this song by heart. Always crank it up. Love it. Love it. Normally would have been number one, but when you hear my number one, I think I made the right choice. But a solid number two for me this time out of this top 100 for the week in 93.
Yeah, I think our number one might be the same.
Okay.
But I don't know.
I was feeling that as we're going through this. Yeah. But we'll find out. Maybe I'll throw you a curveball. You never know these things. So. Well, let's not get too quick on the number ones, but because before we reveal our number ones, let's head to, what do we call it, Rob?
We call it
the cut line. The evil slicing sound tells us that when we put our list together, we often find it very difficult to rank just 10 in each category. So for this segment, we will each identify two songs that just fell out of our top 10. We'll also identify an honorable mention. This is a song maybe we didn't hear the first time, or perhaps we heard it and we discarded it or didn't give it enough attention. And as we got older later, we thought, what were we thinking? That's a great song. That would have been in my top 10 normally. So with all that, those instructions, Rob, what is your first cut?
I'm just going to play it.
Oh, all right. Wow. Pretty good.
Coming at you. Jack Swing. Jack Swing. I want you
to wear it way good. Tony, Tony, Tony.
Yes.
I didn't see this on the chart. I must have just glossed right over.
Well,
I do like it.
I'm double checking here. It was number 7.
Yeah, I just rolled right by it.
Yeah, number 7. Love this song.
I'm usually pretty good at my preparation, but I...
And the week prior, it was 11.
Yeah, I ran right past it.
What would it peak at? I don't know. Peaked at number 7. So this is the highest it gets.
It's not bad. Top 10 hit.
Yeah, no. This is If I Had No Loot by Tony, Tony, Tony.
I like it.
Let's see. It's about fair weather friends and people who come around you for fraudulent reasons.
I know how that feels.
Right. It is described as having a new jack swing beat.
No way.
Yeah.
Even though they say new jack swing right in it.
Yeah. Peaked at number 7, certified gold, sold 500,000 copies in the U.S. If I Had No Loot was named the 10th best single of 1993.
Wow.
By the Village Voice's annual Paz and Job Critics poll. Trivia for you,
Lowell. That seems to be up there about as high as Pitchfork.
Yeah,
that's
just
good.
Pulling up random
sounds
things.
Good.
Trivia: loyal fans of Tony, Tony, Tony are referred to as A, the Tone Loves, B, the Supertonians, C, Newtonians, or D, the Tone Generators.
Those are all terrible.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with the Tone Deafs. Was that a choice?
No.
Okay, add that to the list.
Here's the worst part: is I didn't even in my notes put what the answer is. So I don't know.
We have no idea.
I think it was.
They're all bad.
I don't know what it is.
If I was a Tony fan, you called me any of those names, I would revoke my triple Tony status on the spot.
Yeah. In June of 2023, Tony, Tony, Tony announced their first tour after 25 years. The tour will begin in September 21st in Alabama. Then they go to Radio City Music, blah, blah, blah. And the end of the they'll end in Oakland.
Yeah. Perfect.
So they're back on the road, but I believe one of the members passed away, so it's not
a full group.
Yeah, there.
Either they're going one short, or they got a substitute.
Yeah.
So got to do what you got to do. Got to make that money, man.
That's right.
So get that coin. What does Rod Tidwell say? Show me the money.
Show me the money.
That's right. Oscar-winning moment right there. All right. So my first cut is from a little R&B group called Jade.
Oh,
it is. Don't Walk Away.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like the early 90s, right? R&B.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, wow. That's a blast.
Oh, forgot about that one?
I love that one.
Good. It's your number one, isn't it?
So good.
Number 50 this week on the Billboard. Sounds like the early 90s, like I said, which I'm here for. Love it. This would hit number 4 in the U.S. Hot 100 before it was done. Top 5 hit for them. Number 1 on the European dance radio chart, so that's pretty good. Also number 4 in the U.K. and the 8th highest single on the Billboard year-end R&B hip-hop songs chart. That's a mouthful, but that got there. The song samples from Kool & the Gang, Tribe Called Quest, and Stevie Wonder, which is why it probably sounds so awesome.
Wow.
Billboard ranked it number 52 of the 100 greatest girl group songs of all time. Really good early 90s dance club song. Makes you feel good, and it's a good throwback. You hear it, and you're like, oh, man.
No, that was a good one.
That sounds like 93.
Well played.
Well played.
I love it. Let's see.
Get to do another cut.
Oh, another cut.
And just so you don't get lost. You've been wandering around during this episode.
So. I'm all over the place. my cut number 2.
Yes.
We're going to bring it way down.
Oh, way down. You've already brought it down like 4 times.
Yeah.
You really picked this song. You forget the sun. All right. I don't know. I'm not into the early 90s brooding sting.
He's not stinging. He's stung.
He's not stingy.
Yeah, that whole Dana Carvey.
Yeah, that's really good. It's good. It doesn't make this song any better, but that's a good bit.
Yeah.
So, do you really like that?
I do like that song.
All right, why?
Yeah, I had the album, 10 Sumner's Tales.
Is it because you like the album that you like the song? It just sounds a little...
I like the song.
It sounds a little much, a little depressing.
Yeah. Well, I find it odd that I do like that song. And I remember listening to it in 93, but it...
I believe you.
That's a song that like an older person should have been listening to in 93, not me.
That also has that hint of melancholy sounds.
Yes, it does.
And secret societies.
Oh, so dumb. So dumb. It was written and performed by English musician Sting. It first appeared on his 4th studio album, 10 Sumner's Tales.
Ooh.
Reached number 23 on the Billboard Hot 100. In 1994, it was awarded one of BMI's Pop Songs Awards, described as a peaceful ballad and a deeply alluring ballad with atmosphere to burn.
Allurings are...
Wow.
Pretty a little bit of a reach for me.
Sting described the view from his 16th century Wiltshire manor house. Wow.
He's so pretentious. That's why you like him. He's pretentious.
Right? In England, our house is surrounded by barley fields, and in the summer, it's fascinating to watch the wind moving over the shimmering surface like waves on an ocean of gold. There's something inherently sexy about the sight, something primal, as if the wind were making love to the barley. Lovers have made promises here, I'm sure, their bonds strengthened by the comforting cycles of the seasons.
You know, I didn't really like that song, and now that I know that's a quote he gave, I really hate that song.
Paul McCartney was stated so as that. Paul McCartney has stated that Fields of Gold was a song he wished he'd written himself.
Well, Paul made a mistake there.
There you go.
He's over. He's now, you know, he's gotten one miss, so he's 25 for 26 now.
All right. Whatever. Little trivia for you. What should you use to remove a bee stinger from your body? A, your hands. B, credit card or plastic card. C, tweezers. Or D, all of the above.
I always use a plunger, but that's just what I go to.
Just
takes it right out. Sucks it right out of the spot. So, speaking of bee stings, you'll like this one.
It's a credit
Rob.
Card, everybody. Oh, okay. Yeah, use a credit card or a plastic
card.
Well,
I didn't use a credit card, and why that's relevant is on my honeymoon, the wife and I went to the Puerto Vallarta. And we were outside.
How'd you say it?
So that's how
the
you say
Puerto
it.
Vallarta.
Yeah, we went there, and we were out by the pool.
Yeah,
and I was drinking a soda, Pepsi, I believe. And I went to take a drink. A bee had flown into the can.
You got stung in your mouth,
and it stung me in the roof of my mouth. And I literally pulled the stinger with no credit card, just fingers, out of the roof of my mouth.
Wow!
And then I'm not allergic to bees, but I'd never been stung in the mouth before. But it turned out fine. So.
I've never been stung in the mouth before.
I hadn't. It was a little shocking. So.
Wow.
But all right. Well.
But you persevered.
Do you know we've had multiple bee conversations now on this podcast? So let's go ahead and stay away from the bees for a little bit, and we're gonna move over to my second cut, which is my boy Dr. Dre with "Fuck with Dre Day," and everybody's celebrating.
Potty mouth.
I know. I could put an E on this. Let me ride, just another homicide. Yes, me, so I'ma talk on. Off of the Chronic. The easiest streets that you can walk on. So strap on your Compton hat, your locs, and watch your back, cause you might get smoked, low. Might get smoked. Key. You lost all your homies' love. This is an awesome song. And I love the Chronic, so I listen to this song all the time. I like it because they're making fun of Eazy-E in this
oh, that's right.
Video.
Yeah, yeah, it was a diss track.
It's a diss track for Eazy-E, really. And, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Number 23 this week off of the Epic Chronic album. Actual title, as I said, is Fuck with Dre Day. They made it just Dre Day for the Billboard and for the radio to make it a little more accessible. So, yes, I did use the F word, but it is in concert with what the song is actually called.
That's okay.
So, but the Billboard probably avoided it because of the F-bomb. So this would peak at number 8 on the US Hot 100, so a top 10 hit. Only 49 in New Zealand, so they were not as down with Dre on this one. This is a diss track with Snoop Doggy Dogg targeting his former NWA band member, as I said, Eazy-E, and former manager Jerry Heller. I didn't know anything about Jerry Heller, but I did watch the NWA movie, and mm-hmm. now I know about Jerry Heller.
Okay.
So, however, they also take shots at Miami rapper Luke Campbell, Tim Dogg, and Ice Cube, also former NWA member.
Oh.
I loved everything off the Chronic, but this is probably my second favorite after Nothing But a G Thang. I did like the Ruffs and Stuffs with the Afro Puffs. That's a good one, too. Oh, yeah. But anyway, easy addition to my countdown. Could have been in the top 10, but fell to the cut. But at least it got mentioned. So good for you, Dre and Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Snoop Dogg Dogg.
Or whatever he's called nowadays. Snoop Dogg, Snoop Lion, Snoop, whatever he is. Snoop. Snoop-a-loop.
Snoop-a-loop. Grab your, what does he say?
Get your green hat.
Get your green hat.
Yeah. All right.
Snoop-a-loop.
So that takes you to your?
My honorable mention.
Honorable mention. Right. Hey, you're back on track.
Yeah. My honorable mention is when you've already met. So we're over.
Oh, man. We're at five. Now.
We're at five.
This is tied for our most similar songs ever.
Yeah.
You're just in my head.
I know.
Cut on the honorable mention?
Yeah, I didn't.
How's that a top, not a top tenner?
I didn't catch on to them till later. I kind of, I was like, eh. And then as I got older, I was like, a little more respectful.
They're really good.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, they're good.
Hey, Jealousy, Gin Blossoms.
Definitely Jim Blossoms. Yeah. Really good.
Let's see. Nothing new to add. I have it's become the band's first top 40 single in the on the US Billboard Hot 100 in 1993.
93.
Was inspired by an ex-member's desire to get back with his ex-girlfriend who had left him because of his drinking and cheating. Mm-hmm. The song originally included the line, "You can trust me not to drink," but lead singer Robin Wilson insisted on changing drink to think, having grown tired of lyrical references to his drinking problem.
Yeah.
And it says the song has since become one of the band's most endearing hits. Guitarist Jesse Valenzuela joked, "It's got everywhere. You can hear it at the Lowe's hardware store."
That is correct. I heard it in a grocery store one time. Yeah, like Fred Meyer. Yeah,
you can hear it everywhere.
Just came on. But yeah. To be fair, now that they're playing oldies in like the Fred Meyer, mm-hmm. when we were kids, those oldies were like old songs. Now like Smells Like Teen Spirit comes on and you're like, yeah. You're looking at cereal, like what is happening above my head right now? Well, right?
Have we mentioned it on this? I forget sometimes what we've talked about. But
it's not difficult.
If you were to remake Back to the Future,
yeah, 93.
It's like 93.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That's nuts.
They should do that.
Like
because then when they go forward, it wouldn't even change much.
That's crazy.
I think they should do it
anyway. Yeah,
well, so my cut stays in the same vein as my man Dr. Dre, and that is the greatest rapper of all time, Tupac, with I Get Around.
Wow. Check it out. I get around. Why your cut? Or why honorable mention? Sorry. Check it out. I get
around. Wait, I like this part. The underground just don't stop for hoes. I feel that. I feel it in my bones.
Digital underground.
Hanging in there. Not surprising. This is my cut because I did not listen to this in 1993. Yeah. I did not get on the Tupac train until probably 95 when I got the All Eyes on Me double disc, some CDs. So boo on me. Should have been listening in 93, but I wasn't. But I love this song. So nothing better than Tupac. No one can convince me otherwise. Song was number 48 this week and would top out at number 11 on the Hot 100, but number 5 on the R&B charts. Not difficult to understand what this song is about. It's about Tupac's sexual conquests. I didn't hear this song till 95, as I just told you, when I got into his music after basic training. And then when I got to Japan, he was really big, so mm-hmm. I was listening to it over there a lot. This is a great song, but the lyrics definitely date it. My favorite lyric being, "If you want to see me, dial the beeper number, baby, when you need me." All right, so kids today would be like, dial what beeper number?
Beeper?
What's a beeper number, right? Beeper but that, yeah. The underground don't stop for hoes.
Wow.
That's good advice. You got to make sure you remember that.
You did go heavy, like
R&B and rap.
Yeah, that was.
I told you.
Wow.
All right. This. I prefaced it with that, so you shouldn't be surprised at all. So let's go to your number one.
All right, my number one.
I don't even know if I'm gonna cue my number one up because I'm pretty sure it's the same song.
You think so?
I'd be shocked if it's not, but we'll hear what you got.
All right, here we go.
Play it and let me see if it's right. Yep, 100%. So, number one, very easy to figure out. Yep.
This part.
Yeah, best part. But I'm a definitely number one.
Love it.
For me as well. I like the middle of the song when he holds that one note for like ever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so good. Big props to that. I can't hold that note. I don't belong here. Speaks to a lot of kids in 93, right?
Yeah.
So.
I think a lot of people.
Well, I'll tell you right now, we both have this number one. And before you give whatever you're giving, I want to say.
Yeah, you go for it.
There are a lot of great guitar riffs in the history of music. And I'm sure everyone will debate the best. But you can't deny that guitar riff as being one of the best of all time. Everyone knows exactly what it is. It makes no sense. I remember the first time you heard the song, the style, the way the song's going, and then for all of a sudden for it to go, meh, meh, you're like, it like blew me backwards.
What is going on
right here, right now? So the song was number 44 this week on the Hot 100, top out at 34 in the U.S., did hit number 6 in Australia, number 3 in Norway. I can't say a lot about this other than for me, iconic 90s rock song. Another must-have for any alternative playlist. We'll need an explicit for this, but that line, you're so fucking special. I wish I was special right before the guitar riff is everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, and I'm sure you'll expand upon this, Radiohead themselves hates this song. In fact, they say it's the worst. The lead singer says it's the worst thing he ever wrote. And if you really look at it, no other song in Radiohead's catalog sounds like this at all. You cannot find another song.
That's true.
That sounds like Creep.
Yeah.
So he basically said this was produced and he was told to put it out to get them commercially viable.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it because then he assumed he'd be able to play all the other kinds of music that he actually wanted to play. So,
yeah, no, I had that. It was released in, I think it was 92, but it had a re-release.
Yeah.
So it kind of had a second wave, but it was a worldwide hit. It kind of had that. It was one of those. There was a big movement in like the slacker anthems.
Slacker anthems.
Smells Like Teen Spirit, Loser with Beck.
Those aren't slacker anthems. You know,
it's their most successful single. Rolling Stone named it one of the greatest debut singles and one of the greatest songs of all time.
Yeah, it's great.
Asked about Creep in 1993. The lead singer said, I have a real problem being a man in the 90s. Any man with any sensitivity or conscience towards the opposite sex would have had a problem. To actually assert yourself in a masculine way without looking like you're in a hard rock band is a very difficult thing to do. It comes back to the music we write, which is not effeminate, but it's not brutal in its arrogance. It is one of the things I'm always trying to assert a sexual persona and on the other hand, trying desperately to negate it.
That's a lot.
Yeah. The Greenwood said that Creep was, in fact, a happy song about recognizing who you are.
Nice. But he doesn't like it. Oh, well. What are you going to do? You know who does like it? This guy.
This guy.
And that guy.
Yeah. And then everything after that, I've tried to be a radio.
Tough. Radiohead is like, there's that one album. I forget what it's called.
The Bends. The Bends is good.
What about Computer or...
Yeah, OK Computer.
OK Computer. Yeah. That's the one everybody goes, well, that's the Radiohead album. And it makes me want to, you know, stick my head out a window and just get punched
then,
in the face.
Then they had Kid A.
Oh, OK.
And that, to me, was just beeps and boops.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was weird.
He did the, yeah. Right. So I'm sure there's an audience for that and people love it. I just don't... I didn't glom onto it too much. So, well, some other notable 93 songs that didn't make my list, but I... You know, really wanted Slam from Onyx.
Oh, I had that on my one. I did.
Dream Lover, Mariah Carey.
Oh,
pretty good. Ooh, Knockin' Da Boots.
Knockin' Da Boots. I have that.
Duh, spelling D A, not a T H E. Da Boots.
And Knockin'.
So you need to say that right.
Apostrophe.
Yeah, there's no G on the end of that. There's no G on the end of that word. So Knockin' Da Boots.
Oh, you had Dre Day.
And for those of you younger listeners, if you don't know what Knockin' Da Boots is, you can Google it. You'll find out real fast. But it's probably what you think it is. I put down here songs I didn't want on my list, but relevant. Fields of Gold, which you played.
Hey.
So see, it fell into the garbage category. Hey. But another one I like, Show Me Love, Robin S.
Oh.
Jazzy Jeff Fresh Prince, Boom Shake the Room.
Oh, I forgot about
Boom,
that.
Boom Shake, Shake. Yeah, shake anyway.
Yeah.
And UB40 rolling in with Can't Help Falling in Love off of the Sliver soundtrack.
Ooh, that's a naughty movie.
Yeah. Hey, Basic Instinct 2, basically. Basically.
I had Runaway Train, Soul Asylum.
Good one. Had that on a pod before. It's the only reason I didn't bring it back in.
Big Gun from AC/DC.
Don't like
it. It was from the Last Action Hero.
Yes.
It was a good song. I liked it.
It's okay.
Whoomp, There It Is.
Yes. Again, has, I Almost think we've talked about before, but yeah, that's a good one. Obviously memorable.
Life, That's the Way Love Goes. We talked about that.
Perfect.
Pets.
Porno for Pyros.
Porno for Pyros. Those are some of the ones I had.
Pets is good. I didn't listen to that one later. That could have been a honorable mention. Yeah, if
true. True.
But you can't take out Tupac.
No.
No. Tupac.
Nope.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end, unfortunately, of this episode of Totally Easy 90s Recall. We are sad. We love going through this. We hope it's been a dope look back at our favorite songs on the Billboard Top 100. Why are you shaking your head? Dope is a relative word in the 90s. For this week in 1993, if you like today's musical choices, we have provided links to Spotify, Apple, Amazon playlists in the show notes, and I highly recommend you go listen to the entire playlist because it's awesome. You can also find playlists to all our other musical-based episodes as well, so you can relive the 80s and 90s as much as you want. Finally, we'd like to thank all our listeners, whether first-timers or subscribers, for hanging out with Rob and I. Hopefully we gave you an hour or so of some laughs, some fun, some interesting, maybe some melancholy sounds and secret societies. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes, Totally 80s and 90s Recall, every Tuesday without fail.
So what is our homework for next time?
Homework for next time. We're going to stay in our musical department and we're going to stay in the 90s because the 90s are great. We're going to be doing our favorite one-hit wonders of the 1990s. And Rob, that episode will debut on August 15th,
okay,
just 3 days after your 46th birthday. So everyone clap for Rob.
But how many days after your birthday? Or a week after your birthday?
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, to be fair, since you don't know when my birthday is.
August 7th.
My birthday was, as of this episode premiering, yesterday on the 7th.
Yeah, that's yes. What I figured. Okay.
So I remembered for your happy birthday, but you're just bailing yourself out now that I mentioned it. But that's fine. No big deal.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. We should have had a clap sound effect ready, like an audience giving you a standing ovation for making it to 46.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fun number.
Time to schedule the colonoscopy.
That's correct. You should have had it last year.
Yeah.
Time to get in there. I don't. Got to get the Roto-Rooter and dig around.
Nope.
Right? All right. Yeah. Well, all right. You got anything else?
I got nothing else.
Fancy goodbye?
No fancy goodbyes.
No fancy goodbyes.
All right. Peace out.
All right. That was 6, by the way, crossover. That's the most we've ever had.
It's too high.
It's a lot.
It's too high.
We were listening to a lot of the same stuff in 93.
That's true.
Yeah. Nothing I can do about it.
Nope.
I picked the best songs. You copy.